are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in for this very important episode of There Is Life After Layoff radio show. Are you the parent of a young girl and you are concerned about the trials and tribulations that she will face as she navigates her way through life? Better yet, are you searching for the right resource or shield of protection that will help your daughter to arm herself as she faces the challenging journey ahead of her? If you answered yes to one or both of these questions, then please stay tuned because my special guest, Dr. Erica Gibson, will present you with the tools and solutions that you have been looking for. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path and my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. There Is Life After Layoff is a vision from God, and it is my very transparent journey of facing my own truths without placing blame as I continue to grow while walking in my life's purpose. Now, together with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who helped to guide this conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to push past the fear in your life as you explore new and inspiring opportunities to discover your life's purpose. And in doing so, together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to tune in on the conversation with us on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me Radio website at up2meradio.com. So with that said, thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You help to drive the show, and so we always want to hear from you. So if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, I invite you to call in at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 if you want to come on air and ask our guest a question or make a comment. Now, remember that you only have to press the number 1 if you want to make a comment. And we will begin taking your calls generally around the 7:30 hour after our break. But please feel free to call in at any time, and my guest and I look forward to hearing from you. So during my introduction, I mentioned that tonight's episode is an important one. Now, it's important not only for parents, but also for anyone who may have influence in the life of a young girl. It doesn't matter whether you are mother, father, sister, aunt, cousin, teacher, mentor, all of the above. This show is important because it will arm you with resources and information that you as an adult can utilize as a tool which will help your young girl to navigate her life's course armed with the ability to make good, sound decisions. So with that said, it is certainly without further ado that I ask you to join me in welcoming to There Is Life After Layoff radio show author, speaker, leadership trainer, mentor, and so much more, not to mention my neighbor, Dr. Erica Gibson. Thank you for joining me this evening, Dr. Erica.
Thank you, Alicia, for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be here.
Wow, yes, it is an honor to have you joining me tonight. And you know what? Your commitment to preparing our young girls to be able to navigate through the trials and tribulations of life is so needed, and we really do need to have more of these types of discussions. So once again, thank you for being here. And before we get started, can you share a little bit about yourself with our listeners? Help us get to know a little bit of the personal side of Dr. Erica.
Absolutely. So I'll just start off by saying I am an absolute lover of people. I love people. Mm-hmm. And although I am a healthcare provider by training, I have a passion for professional coaching, mentoring, public speaking, and really just spending time helping to develop others. But on a more personal level, I did grow up in a little small city, Canton, Mississippi, where my parents and my sister and her family currently reside.
Okay.
I am the wife of 18-plus years to Dr. Clayton Gibson III and a mother of two beautiful children, Haley and Hayden Gibson. And I will share also that I love spending my time with family and really volunteering my services to the youth and the elderly. Love to shop, and believe it or not, I love to fish, although I don't get to do that often.
Do you really?
I absolutely love
what?
It. I actually had one trip this year, enjoyed it, and would love to do fishing more, but just haven't
wow.
been able to do it.
Well, and, you know what? That's where you and I part ways. No.
Uh-oh. So calming, so relaxing. That's the
yeah.
time to really get yourself together.
Right. Well.
Yeah, and so I will share also, I am a member of Cascade United Methodist Church in Atlanta,
okay.
and I am a member of the best sorority in the world, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority
right,
Incorporated.
Right. There you go. Wow, I know all your sorrows are listening in.
Absolutely.
Well, you
so
know,
that's really the personal
yeah.
side of my life.
And you know what, because I know you on a personal level, I will say, yes, she is a lover of people because her personality just exudes that she loves talking with people. So you guys are in for a real treat tonight. So I will definitely jump on board and say, yes, you definitely love helping people. So looking forward to the information that you're going to share this evening. But you know what? Before we really get engrossed in tonight's subject matter, there's one point that I want to make clear, and is that, you know, we're going to be talking about your book that you've just recently published. And I want people to know that your book is not a tool, you don't use it as a tool to judge anyone or their lifestyle, but it is more about providing guidance with helping others to make good, sound decisions. So wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I make sure that I note that. No one wants to be judged. And so this book, it's a book of tools, but it's to help guide your path. And, again, it's not to judge anyone.
Right. So we just, you know, the conversation that we're going to have is we're going to be talking about some, you know, topics that, you know, are difficult to talk about with our kids and, you know, with people in general. So we just want you to know that, you know, it's an informational and a good resource to help you arm yourself with being able to handle the trials and tribulations in your life or in your child's life. So we just wanted to make that clear. And I wanted to say, I always want to relate my guest's journey to mine. And, of course, you, because you know me, you know a little bit about my journey and how I was laid off. And then, you know, that led to my creating the There Is Life After Layoff brand, and which is my journey of truth and transparency and growth. And, you know, it was an unexpected situation, but in that very moment I chose not to get stuck but instead to move forward. So with that said, can you share with us a time when you may have been faced with adversity and but in the midst of that circumstance you made the conscious decision to move forward and not get stuck?
Absolutely. I thank you for asking me that question. I will say throughout my career, I've had to face adversity on so many different levels. And just to share a little about one particular adversity, in the early 2000s, I made a decision to come out of direct patient care to work in managed care organization. And after being with that company for a little over 5 years, I was laid off.
Oh.
And at that point, I thought, what in the world have I done? I left practice to experience healthcare in a different capacity, and now this happened? And so the company that I worked for at that time had been purchased by another company who decided they no longer needed a footprint in Georgia. So this meant for me, they didn't need me. And, you know, I never received any warning signs. And I often share, I remember walking into the office on a Monday morning, and I saw a lot of people that I had never seen before. And so when I got in my office and turned on my computer, I saw an email that said, at 9 o'clock a.m., please report to the large university conference room. I knew something was different. because none of the higher-ups were in the office. But little did I know that they had been laid off the Friday before that Monday.
Really?
And so as I approached the conference room, there was standing room only, and I remember a man walking in with one sheet of paper, and he said, make sure no one's in the hallway. Everyone comes in the room. I'm going to read from this sheet of paper, and I will not take any questions. Return back to your office, and someone will come to see you. And so at that moment, my life changed. I was fearful. I was angry. I was embarrassed. I felt rejected. Here, I was a doctor with an uncertain future. Never, ever imagined it. But I knew that I could not continue to feel that way, and I stay in a mental place of insecurity. So I started to realize that God was moving on my behalf and that I needed to have faith in myself, and most importantly, I needed to have faith in him. And so once I actually started trusting him, a sense of empowerment stepped in, and that feeling of entitlement, because I was a doctor, totally went out the window. It vanished. And I will also share that because of my faith and strong support system, my next step was elevated even greater than what I had ever imagined.
Wow.
And so that lesson of being laid off was now a lesson that prepared me for another role that I was about to embark on. God had put it out there for me.
Yes.
And so even with that new role that I embarked on, over a period of time, it resulted, unfortunately, to me having to lay off people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say that because of my prior personal experience of being laid off, it helped me to be sensitive to those who were going to be impacted, because now I knew what they felt emotionally. I knew what they would feel financially. And I just felt like God took me through this first, so that I could somehow help others to see that he, too, would move on their behalf.
Absolutely,
and so I even thought about, so now I need the law of connection to step in. I need to play a role. I need to be able to communicate with openness, sincerity, and really focus on them and not myself anymore, offer direction and hope to them. And so I had to take all that adversity and turn it into fortune and progress, not only for myself, but for the people that would be impacted because of something they had to go through similar to me.
That's powerful. That experience gave you compassion.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes people connect with you, or, you know, with your story, if you have a testimony. And, you know, because I had a prior layoff experience as well, I learned from that first experience, because I can remember that I had done everything wrong, and I got stuck in that time. But because I learned from it, I was not doomed to repeat the same mistakes twice.
Absolutely.
And so, he definitely had you go through that, because he wanted you to understand their predicament and their, you know, where they were at emotionally, you know, and that helped you have compassion in that situation. So that was awesome right there.
Absolutely.
Wow. So what was that one defining moment, or do you feel like that was your defining moment when you felt that God had purposed you to do something more in life, more than what your degrees may have suggested? You know, you mentioned you were a doctor with no direction, you know. And why do you feel like it is important for a person to discover and walk in their life's purpose?
I will share, and I always share this story with others, that defining moment had actually nothing to do with that layoff. I would frequently walk with one of my neighbors who was a counselor, and we would exchange stories about our day. And so one day she shared how a little girl came to her to talk. She shared how the little girl was less fortunate but needed help on so many other different levels. And so at that point, I knew I could be of assistance from either a coaching perspective, a mentoring perspective, or even a financial perspective. At that time, I didn't have children.
Okay.
So I met with the young lady, and I began to provide those things I could at that moment. And it was simple things that our children take for granted today, like, you know, going to the hair salon. She had never gone shopping. All those things that she wished she could do, just even having someone to talk to. And so, I began to spend time with her. And, you know, after one of the outings, I said to myself, when my job is done, I feel my purpose. And so, God said to me, so you think so? I don't think so. He said, he kept putting these young girls in my path.
Wow.
And I needed to know that I could help them. But he was saying, this is your purpose, and you need to follow your passion. And so, it always comes to me, Tom Fisk quoted, said, having a purpose is the difference between making a living and making a life. And to me, having a fulfilling and rewarding life is all that matters to me. Because, when you define your purpose and that purpose gets in your spirit, it moves your heart, it gives you jitters, that's when conscious living begins, and that's when it starts to live within me. But I will share now, just because you found your purpose, that doesn't mean that it's going to be rosy. It doesn't mean that all your problems are going to disappear,
that's right.
But at least you now have a strong clarity of what you want to drive in this world. So for me, that's why it's important to identify your purpose and start to walk in your purpose.
Absolutely, and you're right about the fact that trouble will find you even though you feel like you're walking in your purpose. And I feel like trouble can be assigned to you. And I like to think that during those times when I'm struggling or feeling, I would say not struggling, but challenged, feeling challenged or maybe a little uncomfortable, are those times when I grow the most. Because it's those times when I have to rely on God.
Absolutely.
When you get comfortable and think that you got it going on and you, I got this, that's when you stop relying on God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so he kind of wakes you up and says, excuse me, you're not in control here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He'll kind of wake you up, give you a little wake-up call. So, although I don't like the uncomfortable moments, I receive it as love from God because that's something in my life that I need to grow in some area, And I was reading your bio. In your bio, you describe yourself as a change agent, a leadership trainer, and mentor. So how you could kind of shared a little bit about what you felt your purpose was, but how are you using these valuable skills to make a difference in the lives of young girls or in the lives of others?
So what I do monthly, I host mastermind groups. And this is really where like-minded individuals come together to brainstorm. They educate each other. They hold each other accountable while really sharpening their business and personal skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do that once a month. And then once a quarter for my youth, for my girls, I host youth warrior programs. And this is a youth leadership program that's really designed to our teens to give them the practical tools and ideas to really help them navigate through life. We focus on setting standards. I'm big on women and girls setting standards for themselves. We talk about doing this youth program, winning physical and mental wars. We even discuss health consequences as a result of the choices we make. We discuss in our program how obeying those in authority is important and how coping with bullies is important. So I do a lot of that, and I do a lot of personal coaching to help professionals meet their maximum potential. I also do a lot of personal growth around with physicians, with administrators in corporate companies, even with college students, and with the everyday lay person who wants and desires to grow or just want something different. So that's how I give back. That's what I do.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is.
That's a lot. But, in the part of that description, you talked about the war and preparing these young girls for making good choices. And so that's a good segue into me mentioning the fact that you have recently written and published a book titled Preparing Girls for War. And when I heard that title, it hit me over the head. I was like, what a great title. So I want to talk about that. What was the inspiration behind writing this book? And explain the meaning behind that title.
I will share with you, and I talk about this in the book. After one of the youth warrior summits, a 10-year-old sixth grader walked up to me, and she asked if she could ask me a question. And, of course, I said yes. And she proceeded to tell me that her mother was lesbian. And she asked her mother, how would I know if I'm lesbian? And her mother told her, she says, well, you have to try it for yourself. And so the young lady wanted to know, what did I think? It totally caught me off guard. And I said, well, what tool do I have to give her quickly? And I took my telephone and I opened up the Bible and I turned to Leviticus chapter 20, 13. And I told her, I said, you read this. I said, and then you tell me what you think. And part of that strategy was really to teach girls to think for themselves,
right,
not for me to think for them.
Right.
And after she read it, she says, Dr. Gibson, does this mean boys shouldn't be with boys and girls should be with girls?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, from a Christian's perspective, that's exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in my life, I realized all I needed to do was give her the tools so that she can read and she could understand herself. And so the scriptural basis for that and how I define daily war is comes from Ephesians 6:10 through 18,
mm-hmm.
where we need to put on the full armor of God. And that indicates to me that God is strong, so he expects us to be strong. So we
right.
need to take everything that he's given us, and we need to make the best of it. We need to stand up to everything the enemy, the devil, throws at us.
That's
because
right.
we all know that we're running a life or death fight, and we're trying to finish against the enemy and all of its allies every single day. It could be the allies of the person on your job. It could be the devil in the schools. It could be the devils in the church. It could be the government. So that was the inspiration for writing it, and that's how those were the scriptural basis behind it.
Right. So you, yeah, pretty much you armed her with the Word of God, and
yes.
You know, and that's what we as people have to understand and know that you, like, I love what you said about people thinking for themselves, and that's what I try to teach my children. You know, be an independent thinker, a critical thinker, and someone who can research and do your due diligence. Don't just take things for face value just because
Absolutely.
Someone or your friend or someone, even a teachers can be wrong, and I'm not knocking teachers or anything like that, but if you feel like something doesn't sit right with you, research it.
Absolutely.
People make mistakes. You know, I did that when I was in college, and, you know, some of my best teachers were the ones that I challenged, but they had more respect for me because I didn't just take what they said at face value, and I did my homework.
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
They, you know, and although I thought that it was going to mess with my grade, they actually appreciated the fact that I didn't take it, you know, their word for it. If I didn't agree with them, I said so, but I did it in a respectful way.
Absolutely. And that's most important, as long as it's respectful.
Right, right. So, wow. Yeah, so I love that, you know, give them the tools to, you know, think and make up their own decision. And not just, you know, follow the leader, so to speak.
Because
there are a lot of things that we do, even as adults, that we just do out of tradition. But
Tradition, emotions, you're absolutely right.
And do you research the meaning behind certain things? And a lot of us would have to say no.
No, that's right.
But you're just following along because everybody else is doing it. And, you know, so I have to credit my sister-in-law for really waking me up to that and saying, you know, be a researcher. Do your homework. You know, don't just, you know, do you know the meaning behind that? And she kind of turned me into this person that I will look things up. And then oftentimes I'm surprised by what I find, you know. Wow. So now what are some of the goals for the book, and who is your primary target market? Who do you want to help most?
So my goal for this book is really to reach the masses, to reach the masses so that we can arm and equip them with the tools that they face and all the challenges that they go through life. And so I look at this book as a cheat sheet. Girls should be able to read this book and already have the answers so that they don't have to experience some of the true stories that I've written about. They can say, oh, nope, don't go that way, shouldn't do that. So really it's to arm them so that they can go and they can win the war each and every time. Now, when I originally wrote the book, I wrote it for ages 12 and above.
Okay.
And I had several people who came to me and says, no, it should be for younger. Well, I will say that depending on the environment that the child is in, maybe they should read it. I will also say that boys, young men who find themselves faced in situations should also read it because it's very vivid. I give good descriptions. We talk about STDs. We talk about STIs. We talk about all those things that they can also face. I talk about preteen pregnancy, and guess what? It takes the boy to get
the girl.
So guess what? They need to read it. I have a tool of what you do, how you handle it. And I tell you, it's not all about you anymore. It's about that baby. So it's really a book for the mother, the father, the sister, the brother. It impacts all of our lives.
Right. So then that leads me to this. So somebody asks you, is it just for girls? You would have to say absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And you know what? I will share that I've received so much feedback from fathers.
Really?
Who have come to me, who have come to me, and they said, you know, I'm dealing with everything in your book. And I said, really? Yes, my daughter, but it has helped them to communicate with their daughters on some of the things that have gone on. And, you know, just even a piece in the book where I talk about overcoming bad decisions, it helps them to communicate to their daughters on how to get over it. It happens, so do we stay there or do we keep moving?
Right.
So, yes, I would say absolutely for boys, for young men, for dads, it's for everybody.
As you really think about it, there are a lot of single fathers out there.
Yes.
You know, not only single moms, so there's single fathers who may have daughters. So, don't just think this is a book for, moms.
Absolutely.
You know? But I actually bought a copy of the book, and I started reading it with my daughter. And it's one of those things that I think especially if you have a child who's younger than the age of 12, that you have that time to sit down with a parent, to explain the nuances and, because at that age they may not quite understand. But it's one of those things that you sit down and you read with your child, because then it's going to open up dialogue.
Absolutely. And it actually, I'm glad you said that. Because it does open up dialogue, because there are so many things that are taboo that we don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, as parents, sit down and talk about it, our children will hear it from their friends, and guess what? They're going to hear it the wrong way.
The wrong way.
A book to open up dialogue. And I shared earlier, it's a book of facts. They're real stories. And if we ever walk around thinking it won't happen to us, our girls, we're highly misled. It will happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Right now, we're close to the 7:30 hour, so what I'm going to do, we're going to wind down. We're going to pause and take a short station break. And when we return, we will continue our great and powerful conversation with my special guest, Dr. Erica Gibson. I'm your host, Allie, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back, and if you're just joining us, welcome. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.uptomeradio.com. That's up, the number 2, meradio.com. and I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., and you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. So before the break, we were having an awesome conversation with Dr. Erica Gibson, the author of Preparing Girls for War. And let me ask you this. What would you say are a few of the major obstacles or challenges that our young girls are facing, you know, as they are growing up today?
You know, that's a great question, Alicia, but it's so hard to narrow down just a few. I would say our girls face self-esteem, body image, stress, bullying, depression, teen pregnancy, peer pressure, competition in drinking, smoking, and one of the worst, social media.
We need to talk about that. That's a whole nother show, actually, but we're going to talk about it right now because, oh, my goodness, this social media thing is, I don't even know where to begin with that. Can you address some of the dangers of, that social media presents? I would say the irresponsible use of it, I guess, is a better way of saying that.
Absolutely. You know, we see all the time with social media, it presents cyberbullying, so you have all this behind-the-scenes threatening behaviors. You even have what they call on social media hate speech. And this usually affects our girls and minorities and communities that are discriminated against. So these are people who get online with these identities who may easily indulge in disrespectful behavior that leads to explicit and violent imagery. So that's some of it. And then I would even say social media as it relates to sharing of too much information. So you have these criminals that start to seek out our children. They understand where they hang out. They solicit their contact information and even take our children's pictures and distort them. And so, you know, our children are faced with that. And then you have one of the worst, which is that online grooming on social media.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is where these pedophiles may use fake accounts on social media just to make friends with our teenagers. And then they tend to be of the same age just to win the confidence of our girls. And guess what? They use it for sexual contact. So to me, when I say the horrors of social media, it's there because we have all of these, I call them criminals and pedophiles out there seeking our children, preying on our children.
Yes, they are. They absolutely are. And, see, this is where the parents come in. Parents, there are so many parents who are out there trying to be their kids or their children's friends and not being the parent and monitoring their social media accounts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in the book, I actually share a true story of a 14-year-old who was victimized via social media. She couldn't read. She could only count up to 100. And
she was
met someone on the social media.
What?
And she became pregnant by him. He was 24 years old.
Oh,
those are the things that our children face. And if we don't monitor it, we're in trouble.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, my husband is the social media police in this house. Because my kids are both subject to searches of their phones and their media devices at any time. If he asks you for it, you better chalk it up.
Absolutely.
And he's checking, and he has it tied into, you know, his accounts. He can see what they're doing.
Very good.
And, you know, so they don't even try it, because and if they think they could delete something, he could find it. So they learned early on, don't even try that.
Absolutely, and I think that's important because if we're going to allow our children to utilize it, guess what? We need to monitor it.
Responsibility. There's some responsibility as a parent that comes along with that.
That's right.
And most times we're paying the bill, so when you think about that, you're paying the bill for your child to be preyed upon.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't monitor it, so think about that, you know. Wow. Yeah, that's like I said, that's a whole nother show for another day. I don't even get me started on it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what are the most important tools that these young girls or women or young men, I guess, even since we talked about that, what can they arm themselves with as they navigate through the challenges of life? What are some of the most important tools that you would name?
Okay, I'm going to sort of split it. What I'm going to say that, and everyone's not a believer, and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who are believers, I would say your number one is the Bible. Every tool, every answer you need, it's there.
Right.
Another tool that's given is the book that I prepared. So it's for the spiritual and the unspiritual.
Mm.
Read the book. It's there. I would say our children need to provide and arm themselves with positive mental attitudes. They need to get a positive inner circle.
Yes.
And they should not be afraid to remove people out of that circle. And they need to be intentional in the relationships that they build with friends.
Absolutely.
And I would say another tool would be get a counselor, get a coach, get a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your minister. Talk to a doctor. Talk to a counselor. You know, talk to someone who's going to hold you accountable, who's going to coach and mentor you and give you the things that you need in order to move and continue to progress in life.
Absolutely. And, you know, one key point that you made was about the friends.
Mm-hmm.
No parents know who your children are friends with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No,
and, you know, I always
they
hear,
are.
I agree, and I always share with youth, I share it with adults as well. Surround yourself around those who add value in your life.
Amen. Oh,
if
my
you
goodness.
Are in a group and you are not receiving value, guess what? You need to find another group. If
right.
you're in a group and you're the smartest one in your group, guess what? It's time to find another group.
Another
and
group.
And so we can't be afraid to move on. I didn't say don't speak to them.
Right.
I didn't say go have dinner with them, but I said overall you need to find those who add value in your life.
Right. But you know what? That just brought up a thought. I share with my daughter, not everybody is your friend.
Absolutely.
You don't use the term friend
so loosely.
So loosely. Some people are meant to be your associates, and
yeah.
some you probably have a handful in your lifetime that you can actually count on as actual friends to the end. You're, like they say, you're ride or die, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So be very discerning in that. And I always also tell them anything or anyone that takes you away from your walk with God is not good for you.
That's right. That's exactly right. And,
so,
you know, I think we
yeah.
all need to realize that people come in our lives for a season.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's okay
yes.
when that season moves on because you need to move on.
That's right. It's called setting boundaries.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, when it's done, you know, and like you said, it's not that you don't have to be cordial with them. That doesn't say
mm-hmm.
you forget about them out of your life, but you're not going to just be in the same kind of a relationship with them, you know. Know
absolutely.
When to take a step back and say, oh, pump your brakes, you know. God
that's
is
right.
telling you, okay, their season in your life is up. You got to know when to recognize that. Always listen to the Holy Spirit when they tell you that.
That's right.
You know,
that's
if,
right.
if you're feeling uneasy about a relationship, then, hey, there's something there.
That's right. And it's called, I tell my husband all the time, it's called the law of inner circle.
Mm.
I get to decide if you're in my circle.
There you go.
And
that's
it's
good.
Okay if you're not.
That's good. That's really good right there. And it's okay.
It's
wow.
okay.
Wow, that's good. What role does making good choices play in winning the war against overcoming these many obstacles that these young women and young children face?
So guess what? Making good choices allows you the ability to determine your destiny and your future. You get to turn your own pages in your book. You get to build your own ladder and climb it as high as you want to. So that's why, for me,
mm-hmm.
making good decisions play a key role in winning the war.
Mm, that's awesome. Making good choices. You know, and I tell my kids all the time, there are always consequences
yes.
to the choices you
yes.
make. OMG, that's a mouthful
yes.
right there.
Yes, yes.
And if you make a bad choice, you got to be willing to face the consequences.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And guess what? We will make bad decisions.
Yes.
And we will fail. But we need to get up, regroup, and try it again. Because it's okay, because we are not perfect.
That's right. And learn,
mm-hmm.
and learn from the mistake.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, as we think about it, oftentimes God will take us through the same lesson over and over
again.
Until
yes.
we pass the test.
Yes.
He's not going to allow us to graduate to the next level.
I have been there.
Yeah, been there, done that, still doing it.
I have been there. And so I finally get it.
Yes.
I finally get it. It's okay to fail. It's okay to make a bad decision. But at some point, I need to learn from it, or I'm going to repeat this vicious cycle that doesn't
right.
feel good. And I don't want to continue to do that.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, the key is just learning from it, you know, learn from the mistake. So, how, you know, we've been talking about this wonderful book. How can we support you and purchase a copy of this book?
I would say from a global perspective, the way everyone can support me is really by everyone putting on that full armor of God. And let's help our girls and our young ladies win the war against the pressures of the world. So we talk the talk, let's walk the walk. From a global perspective, that's how they can help me. I will share, to purchase the book, go on Amazon.com,
mm-hmm.
and the book, the hardcover, is $9.97. The ebook is $4.99. And if you do not want to go on Amazon.com, you can always go to my website.
Okay.
It's www.drericawithak.gibson.com, or you can type in www.preparinggirls4war.com.
Okay, and that'll take us to your website. Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. But you know what, Dr. Erica, you know what we're going to do? I think that I know you and I want to be a blessing to someone this evening. So here's what we're going to do. We have 3 copies of the book available. And for 3 of our loyal listeners, we're going to bless somebody. And how we're going to do that is that for the first 3 listeners who email me about how you or someone that you know will be or can be blessed by reading a copy of Dr. Gibson's powerful book. And it doesn't have to be a long dissertation. Please don't write a dissertation, just a brief statement, you know, a few sentences, you know, if that. But let us know how you feel like this book would bless you, be a blessing in your life, in, you know, your relationship with your daughter, sister, friend, cousin, or, you know, if a student that you know of. Dr. Gibson and I, and on behalf of, you know, the Dare's Life of Playoff Radio Show, we want to personally send you a copy of the book. And
absolutely.
Ask her to autograph it for you as well.
Absolutely.
And so you could send that email, attention to Allie, which is A-L-I, and you could send that to thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. Again, attention, Allie, to thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And the first 3 people who email me will be on the receiving end of one of the copies of Dr. Gibson's book. So we are looking forward to receiving that email. And ready, set, go. Okay.
Awesome.
So I'm looking
awesome.
Forward to blessing, you know, a few of our listeners this evening. So. Do you have any upcoming book events scheduled or any, you know, are you going to be about, you know, town with your book and signing your book anywhere?
Well, we don't have anything else. We just did a book signing last week.
Okay.
Last week.
Yes, and I had the pleasure of being there. It was wonderful.
Thank you. So we don't have anything else planned this year, but gearing up for 2018, we're going to have a lot of our summits going out. We're going to have a lot of our masterminding going out. We're going to have a lot of personal coaching, all of those things, and you can find it on the website. We're going to have some book signings going on. So I encourage you, visit our website. We always have great things going on.
Awesome. So how could we learn more about your services or follow you on social media?
So on social media, you can go on Facebook and type in Erica Gibson, and you can go on Instagram and type in Dr. Dr. Erica with a K, Gibson, MDDC.com. Again, on Instagram, it's Dr. Erica Gibson, MDDC.com.
Awesome. And you know what? We look forward to hearing more from you. And, you know, when you are hosting some of these events, please let us know, and I will, by all means, you know, talk about it. And, you know, you can come back and even share about some of these events on a later show. You know what? We actually have a caller right before, at the nick of time.
Okay, awesome.
So we're going to bring a call on air. If your last four digits of your number end in 7654, you're on the air with Allie and Dr. Erica.
How you doing, Allie? How you doing, Dr. Erica Gibson?
Hello.
First of all, I would like to say it was a great interview. I had a chance to purchase the book from Dr. Erica Gibson myself. My name is John Harden. The book is excellent, a great read. Quick read, great read, straight to the point. But I had a question for Dr. Erica Gibson that was kind of toiling my mind after I read the book.
Okay.
The question I had is, at what point does a girl know that she's won the battle and gotten past the war, has actually conquered the war? At what point?
Well, I want to first say you never stop fighting to win the war, because every day you're going to be faced with something different. But when you are at ease with yourself and you're not pressured, at that point you know you've won the war.
Okay.
When you feel good about the situation, you feel good about the decision you've made, you've won the war. But just know that that's one part of the war. There are multiple things that will keep coming up, and that's what the book, it gives you an array of situations that you can encounter. So you just have to build and empower yourself and know that, yes, I got through that one. There's another one coming, and I'm going to fight to win that one as well.
Awesome. Can I ask you something else?
Of course.
Okay. Say this for a scenario for a girl that's going through some things, but she doesn't have a faith, and she's not really, you know, she's not – she doesn't believe in the word, but she may have some other belief or none at all.
Hello?
Did we lose him?
Oh, there he is.
Okay.
Hello?
Like I was.
Your hello? Call keeps going in and out a little bit, caller. Hello?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay, that's not a spiritual foundation,
uh-huh.
That does not have a knowledge of a higher power. What would be your advice in order to try to prepare her for war?
I would say get with a counselor, get with a coach,
mm-hmm.
get with your doctor, get with someone who can provide guidance for you. You don't have to be a believer and know that that's the only way you can fight and win the war. Because a lot of people are not believers, but they need to get with someone who can provide that leadership and that guidance and give them the tools along with what's in the book to help them fight and win.
Good advice.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dr. Gibson, and it's a great book, and I appreciate, you know, you taking the chance of writing a book, Preparing Girls for War, and I'm going to continue to be an advocate for Preparing Girls for War, and I had the opportunity to get a couple of books from you, and thank you so much. You had a great book sign, a great debut. It was awesome, and I appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the great work. And life after layoff.
Yes.
I just got laid off. If you can hire me, I'd be glad to work. I'm just kidding. Y'all have a great day. You have a great show. Continue the good work too, ma'am.
Thank
you're doing
you.
A great deed, and I'll continue to spread the word about Preparing Girls for War. You guys have a great one.
Thank you,
Mr. Hardin. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that was awesome. Wow. Yay, right before we got ready to close. That's good. He had some great questions, though, some really great questions. So I'm glad he did get in so that we can, you know, have you answer his questions. So they were great.
Absolutely.
So, you know, as we get ready to close out another powerful episode, I want to say thank you, Erica, Dr. Erica Gibson, for joining me this evening. And thank you for your courage with penning a book that encourages us to have what I would say, and I know you will agree, are often difficult discussions with young girls or even young boys in our lives. So thank you for having the courage to do that. And also not only for that, for always being an inspiration and a support to me in what I'm going through in my journey. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Thank you. You're welcome. And thanks to your executive producer for asking me to come on as well.
Thank you. Have a good evening, and we look forward to hearing from you and what you're doing in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? It is during this time in the show that I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. And one of those Scriptures that I was led to share this evening is John 15, verses 1 through 4. And it says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now, Dr. Gibson's book encourages us to study and use the Word of God to help us make good, sound decisions. And in order to make the right choices and bear the right fruit in our lives, we have to stay in God's presence and in His Word. So allow Him to take up residence in your life. And just as the vine is the source of nourishment and wealth for the fruit, let Jesus be the source in your life. So next week, I will be taking some time off to spend with family during the Thanksgiving holiday. So I'd like to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. And it is a time, of course, of reflection and to give God the glory for all that He has done in my life. And also, please use this time to not only give thanks, but to also listen to our past recorded podcasts that you may have missed. And you can access them on the There Is Life After Layoff show page, which is available on the UpToMeRadio.com website. And our recorded podcasts are also available on iTunes and also on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app for your mobile device. And you will find us on Stitcher and on iTunes by searching for Up the Number 2 Me Radio. And please remember to follow me on my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please connect and follow with us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Up to Me Radio on Twitter at Up to Me Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at AllieWard45. And please remember to like us on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook by searching There Is Life After Layoff, and Up to Me Radio can be found on Facebook at Up to Me Radio. So on behalf of There Is Life After Layoff Radio, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. And so until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life and know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Known has come from you alone.